Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
By the way, there's a show that we're watching at my house and really enjoying. It's called City on a Hill. Kevin Bacon is the bad guy. He's a really bad guy. Everybody loves him, but he's a completely corrupt cop. And that's kind of a funny thing, isn't it? Because sometimes corrupt cops have a good heart and they do the good things, and there's a duality to his character. I'm not exactly sure if I'm going to end up liking him or hating him when the series is over, but if you're watching that series, you know that City on a Hill is really good, and Kevin Bacon is really good in it. And there's another guy in it who's also terrific, Aldis Hodge. You've seen him in a number of TV shows and movies. He's the big, handsome black cop who is not going to be corrupted, right? And he's now interacting a lot with Kevin Bacon's completely off-the-chain character. Hey, Aldis, you hear that nice introduction I gave you?
Yes, indeed. I heard it all, man. I appreciate it.
That's quite a resume. I mean, like, I didn't even get to finish it, but I just wanted to ask you about a couple of details here before we talk about the show, okay?
Sure.
So, actor, I've seen you in episodes of Friday Night Lights, Walking Dead, stuff
right.
like that.
Right.
You were in Straight Outta Compton.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You were in Hidden Figures.
Yeah, good old Hidden Figures. That was fantastic.
Yeah, no kidding. Underground.
Yep, Underground.
On the that's the WGN series. Mm-hmm. And then this new series. You've been a male model. I guess you're not a female, so this male is not necessary. You've been a model.
where did you get that factor? Who said male model? Yeah, I used to model back in the day.
Were you on Sesame Street as a kid?
Oh, yeah. Back in, man, Big Bird was my homie. Mm-hmm.
Not many people can
say
that. Yeah,
my brother Edwin and Edwin Hodge, he's an actor as well. Yeah, Edwin and I both were on Sesame Street together.
You know, you never know, because you see people like on a show when they're a child, and you think, oh, this is working for them. Like, you were in one of the early Diehards, too, right?
Yeah, I managed to sneak in two different Diehards, but the first one that I was in, Die Hard with Vengeance, that's arguably the best one, just saying.
But, I mean, you never know if those careers are going to pan out for those people, if they'll really have the chops down the road, and it's right. sure worked out for you. And then, do I read correctly, you were in Showboat on Broadway?
Yes, again, with my brother Edwin Hodge. Also, my brother Edwin was in Die Hard alongside me. But we did Showboat on Broadway. That was a fantastic experience as well, man. It taught us the foundation of acting and how we sort of managed to get to that point. When I was shooting Die Hard, Sam Jackson told my mom, if you want your boys to learn the true foundation of acting, get them on stage. So then, coincidentally enough, we had an audition for this play and didn't realize what it was or the magnitude of it. But, you know, the universe works for you in all kinds of ways. You just got to, you know, prick up your ears and listen.
So you're able to sing, too?
Nah, brother, that's back in the day. I don't know if the vocals are really hitting right now. You know what I mean? They're a little rusty, brother. They're a little rusty. I'm not about to bust out no notes.
So you've dropped an octave, and maybe you don't have the singing chops you did once upon a time.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's, and then just one other thing here. It says you're a painter, that you're an artist,
yes.
and that you're also mm-hmm. a micro-mechanical engineer. Now, what the hell is that?
Exactly what it sounds like. I work on micro-machines. I'm a watchmaker and a watch designer. So that's my other profession outside of entertainment. I've been designing timepieces since I was like 19 years old. So I turned it more into a serious profession when I decided to start my own brand a few years ago. And I've been plugging away ever since trying to develop my own pieces. It's not easy, but, you know, it's so well worth it.
I used to have a rock collection, but that all seems less important now.
I used to have a rock collection too, though.
Sure you
did. I still have a rock collection all over my house. I got nothing but rocks and stones and all that. I mean, they're my materials for watchmaking, but still, I got them. So I still collect, brother. Still collect.
So then talk to me about this series. We were just kind of talking amongst ourselves while we were reconnecting with you how fun it is to see this smarmy Kevin Bacon character playing off of you and you playing off of him. Talk about City on a Hill for a minute.
Yeah, man. City on a Hill back in Boston in the 90s. We are set in 1992 when we began the show, but you know, it's one of those just raw, gritty crime dramas we haven't seen in a long time. And the beautiful thing about their perspective on it, which I love, is that there's duality to everybody, good and bad, right? And even with the criminals, we realize these criminals are doing something that they feel is a decision they can get behind. I'm trying to feed my family. I'm trying to make sure my kids are good, so I'm going to do what I have to do, right? My character, DeCourcy Ward, comes to town. He's from Brooklyn originally, comes to Boston to shake things up and really try to put his stamp on justice. But he learns quickly through Kevin Bacon's character that Boston plays by very different dirty rules. So he has to kind of get with the program. And for him, he's trying to figure out how to play their game, but by his own rules, so he can still look in the mirror and recognize the guy he's staring at the end of the day. But it becomes progressively harder dealing with the Boston politics and, yeah, you know, not realizing who the criminal is. Is it the guy wearing the badge, or is it the guy holding the illegal gun? We don't know.
Yeah, it's one of those things, too, where you wonder if your character is going to get corrupt and play the game, or if maybe your character is going to sort of make Kevin Bacon's character see the error of his ways, and he's going to clean up his act a little bit. So you've got sort of this, I think, duality of the two characters, and maybe at the end of the day, each will benefit or change a little as a result. But I'm rooting for you, and I told Brenda the other night, I don't know if I'm rooting for Kevin Bacon or not. I don't know if.
Yeah, well, you hit the nail on the head, and that's sort of the fine razor's edge that we walk is, you know, my character, DeCourcy, his challenge that we'll see throughout, and rather we'll explore throughout the season, is how far is he willing to go? How corrupt is he willing to get to accomplish his end-game goal, right? And this entire relationship between him and Jackie, Kevin's character, It's really, for me, it's a beautiful thing to watch because I'm so curious. I don't know when they like each other, if they like each other. I don't know if they're screwing each other over. I really don't know if they respect each other, if they're just using each other or not. Like, there's not one point where I can get really comfortable and I know what's going to happen between the two. That's why, personally, for me, they're fun to watch. And that's why I like playing it with Kevin, because we don't want people to really know. And those questions asked, we want people to ask those questions, because, honestly, you won't really find out till we get to the end of the road.
We're talking about Showtime's City on a Hill with Aldis Hodge. He co-stars with Kevin Bacon in this series. What's Kevin Bacon like to work with, by the way?
He's fantastic to work with. Really, truly is, you know, scholar and a gentleman. He brings his A game to set. He doesn't miss a beat. You know, he treats everybody with respect, and he's down to get the real work done, to get the job right. You know, the very first time we met, we found that synergy. We hit it off, and we kind of knew that we were going to challenge each other. So, you know, just like our characters are two fighters in a ring, Kevin and I are two titans in a ring, pushing each other's potential to that maximum when it comes to being in scenes together. Because, you know, the words that we're getting are gold. They're much, you know, much thanks to the show's creator, Chuck McLean. He's fantastic. And then we have our showrunner, Tom Fontana, you know, creator of Oz. He's got a wealth of knowledge and history on him. So we can't go wrong with these guys. But, you know, I just try not to mess up what's right there in front of me, you know. But Kevin, he's awesome, man.
Is it tempting to go, hey, I know a guy who you to do the whole 7 degrees of separation with him? Is that a fun? That's a good joke. I would definitely recommend that.
Yeah, but I think what's funny is that, you know, Kevin is figured out how to use the popularity of the whole 6 degrees thing. He actually has a company called 6 degrees, which, you know, what happens is they go into different cities and they expose the beautiful work being done by different charities. So we, while in New York, in Manhattan, you know, he took me down there with 6 degrees to go check out this organization called The Door. And we shed a little light on them, give them a little TV exposure, a little, you know, saying a little media exposure. And that's what he does. You know, so he took 6 degrees and turned it into something great. So, I can't help but respect that.
You know, I didn't know that the series that you're on, City on a Hill, is based on a true story. According to the Sun-Times story about you and this series the other day, it's inspired by true stories, including a 1996 event known as the Boston Miracle. Homicide rates dropped 63% when I guess they cracked down on guns in that city.
Yeah. So it's inspired by. We're not telling a fictional version of that in depth. We are telling our own original stories, but they are inspired by those elements. And what happened with the Boston Miracle was fantastic. And my character, DeCourcy, is inspired by a real DA. His name is Ralph C. Martin, who went to Boston, and he was a part of the whole thing, you know. And to shed a little light on that sort of community fellowship and town's leadership, where people can actually get together, the community leaders, the pastors, the teachers, the cops, and everybody works with one another to crack down on crime. And you see the result, like you said, 63% is massive. So, you know, for us to be able to take some pieces of that and use it as inspiration for these characters' voices, I think is awesome. And it's partly why I signed on to the show as well, because I felt like there was real substance to what we were talking about here.
Yeah, you know, I wonder sometimes when an actor like you is in a script like that that's very real. And so there's coarse language. It's on Showtime. There's sex scenes. There's language that you couldn't say on network TV. Sometimes there's racial epithets hurled your way. And I wonder, as an African American, I know it's acting, and I know we're all doing our job here. But after the scene is cut, they say, "Good, cut." Do you guys, I wonder what the next breath is like for you all. Does the one guy kind of look sheepishly at you like, "Hey, man, I'm just doing my job here," or am I inventing something in my head that isn't even an issue?
No, it's always an issue. Look, that word, you know, primarily discussing the N-word, it hurts every single time, right? But when it comes to the art, we know why we're doing it and why it needs to be used, and it's not used egregiously, it's used effectively in these points because you have to show the truth of the ugliness of racism when we're addressing it. You can't cover it up. That's just insulting, right, to the people that are targeted by racism. So when it comes to our actors, there's such a degree of respect that they handle these situations with. When we're doing rehearsals, nobody says these harsh words.
Really?
Only in time. Yeah, they skip that. They're like, "I'm not going to say this elsewhere." Of course not. You got to realize this word is still killing people today, and it hasn't changed, you know. So they understand the gravity of it all, and they handle it with so much respect and poise that I really appreciate it because, you know, we do have black people on set that, regardless of whether it's a scene or not, they're still affected because when we leave set, we have to go into our daily lives, and we're still affected by this. You know, I've had several encounters of racism this year alone in New York, but I did have an encounter where, late 20s, early 30s, white male called me the N-word out in public, you know, while putting his hands on me. So when we leave, the fantasy of what we're doing doesn't just stay there, you know what I mean, because it's not fantasy.
Yeah.
And people know that these are part of our daily lives, so they do handle it with a great degree of respect, and I can really appreciate that.
Maybe
we do have a good set.
Maybe on the set, then, those words are more impactful, too, when they, you know, then that guy really is going to say it the one time, and then you're really going to feel it the one time, and there's a gritty realness to this show, and the way you all play off of each other is terrific. It's called City on a Hill. It's on Showtime on Sundays. Hey, it's nice to talk to you. I know you're in Chicago, and we didn't connect, but maybe the next time you're in town, we will. But keep up the good work.
I'd love to.
And thanks for giving us some of your time.
Absolutely, brother. I appreciate you taking the time.
Aldis Hodge on Showtime's City on a Hill.